So before we get started with the message, I want to make an announcement real quick. Now, last week, we started off with an announcement regarding some socks and a box. What are these for? Do you know what they're for?
The window.
The window, right? We're collecting for the window. Brand new socks, canned goods, and we have another week of collecting that. So next Sunday will be the last Sunday for that. We have this big box that's green and red, and we have several options. One option is to simply help pay for the box. It's $9. You can write a check to LifeSpring, and then we can collectively do one check to Samaritan's Purse so they can get the boxes to the locations so the children will receive their gifts, and it's all over the world. Option two is just get a box, which you have some down over there against that wall, some downstairs, and after you fill them up, this one has a whole bunch of items in it, then we're going to take the boxes and put them downstairs in the basket. That's option two. Option three is you can either, in option three, you fill the box and you pay the $9. And then option four, Option five is you can build a shoebox online, and that is going to be at SamaritanPurse.org/build-online. So that we want to get these boxes done, because when is the deadline? When is the last time we can do this? The 21st, which is next Sunday, correct, right? Because then we're going to take all of our boxes and take them to a specific drop-off location. So they make sure they get there on time at Christmas. All right. So, last week, we gave four particular aspects about discerning God's voice. Can you remember any of those things that they were? There are four things that you do to discern God's voice prior to praying.
Worship.
You could use the worship and you could use the word. Mm-hmm. But part of it was you enter his presence with giving, right? After you've entered his gates with thanksgiving, you are to be still or quiet before the Lord, right? Those are ways to, and then you rest there. And then you can open up your Bible and meditate on the word, right? Those are the four things that we talked about discerning the Lord's voice. Now, today we're going to do another activation, but we're not going to do it right now. Okay? And it's going to be for ourselves and not for the person next to you. And as we do that, you will need a Bible, you will need a piece of paper and a pen, which I forgot to hand them out. So we'll do that a little bit later on. Before I do that, though, I want to give you an example of what we're going to do later on so you see how I did it. There was a point in my life where I was feeling stuck. Like I just was having trouble hearing the Lord's voice. And I needed him to speak to me. I needed his perspective on my circumstances at the time. And it was regarding finances and other things. And so when I was doing the exercise, I said, Lord, I need to know what your favor or what your blessing on my life feels like. Because I felt like I didn't have that. And so I sat down and I wrote down all the impressions that the Lord gave me. Now, when the Lord speaks to you, he doesn't necessarily dictate like he's writing a book. Or at least maybe he is, and I just don't know how to hear it in that form. It takes practice. It takes time. And so this exercise is broken up into three steps, A, B, and C. Okay. So the first step here is I write down the key words or the phrases. And so they were just impressions I had, and I didn't necessarily understand why I was writing what I was writing or what I was writing, but I began to just write it anyway. So I was taking a risk. I could have been off target. And so I wrote down these words, with you, start to finish, for you, and favor on you. Walk around with sense of it. Walk in situations and carry my favor. I thought, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. But I wrote it down anyways, right? And so this is the first step. And then when I moved to the second step, The Lord was asking me to take what I had already received and put it into sentences. And so as I looked at the sentences, I began to write. So I took the first thing. I said, I am with you from start to finish. I'm for you. Do you know my favor for you? You are to walk around sensing the favor upon you. You are to know that I'm going to bless you. There will be opposition, but it doesn't negate my blessing. It doesn't mean defeat, rather simply resistance. You have eyes like Elisha. Know there are more for you than against you. Now, as I wrote this down, things began to take shape and they began to make a little bit more sense. But it wasn't quite there. So I had all these things so far, right? Again, this is stepping out into new territory where you don't know exactly what's going to happen with this. But, like Abraham knew where he was leaving from, but he didn't necessarily know where he was going to. But you take the steps anyway, because you know back there, you don't need to stay there anymore. You're going to be miserable. You just know that you got to get away from there and go the other way. So, as I went from the first step, then the second step, and then when I went to the third step, what happened was God began to give me a context. He gave me a context for what he had said previously. So as you take time walking through the steps, God gives you a context. And so this is, I gave you a reduced version of this letter because it was a lot more than what's there. But this is the gist of what it said. Dear Fernando, I've been with you from the beginning, even in the womb, where decisions were being made about your life or your mother's. I chose both. The enemy wanted to take you out from the start. There is a reason, and it has yet to be revealed. Now, I'm going to pause there for a second. My mother was pregnant with me when she had open heart surgery. Now, I'm not a young pup, so this tells you what this is back in the day when open heart surgery was still very, very new, even for the Cleveland Clinic. And so the decision was being made, do we save the baby, do we save the mama? I found out many years later that there was a church just down the street from where I lived, where my aunt and uncle were attending. And they told me, when your mama was pregnant with you, we as a church were praying that you both would live. You see? So you see, you have a context for where that's being said. Decisions were being made about your life. And I chose both. Then it goes on to say, there is great favor on you, and I want you to walk as though others can sense it. Fernando, you need to walk as others can sense that favor on you. You do not walk alone because my presence goes with you. Opposition will come, but it never negates my blessing. It doesn't mean defeat, only resistance. I've given you Elisha's eyes so that you may know there are more for you than against you. Remember, I am with you. Love, Papa Dios. Okay? Papa Dios, Papa God. See? Elisha's eyes. God would give each and every one of you Elisha's eyes to know that there are more for you working on your behalf than those that are working against you. Okay? So, as I mentioned before, I was getting revelation from one step to the next. God was giving a context, but the context and the revelation was coming as I took steps of obedience to move forward in listening and in writing. Don't stop in the middle. Keep going as the Lord begins to speak to you. Now, We need to keep in mind that we don't always understand what God is saying about our circumstances. But in obedience, we write. Now, this letter was written a while back. But even as I read it today, it brings me to tears because God was speaking, God was ministering, and he was dealing directly with the emotional makeup I had going on the inside. So last week, we watched a quick video about a sheep. And we're going to look at that video where the sheep was temporarily rescued. Do we have that video ready to go? We're almost there. So some of you missed it last time, but we want to make sure we get it again because there's, even if you saw it last week, there are some things that we can learn from this video. All right, go for it. All right. You can turn the lights on. All right. It's even funny the second time, isn't it? Right? Okay, so I have some questions for you. Now, the sheep was pulled out, right? He was rescued. Did he wait to give thanks? Oh, he didn't. Okay. So we talked about those four things, right? Thanksgiving, being still, right? Did he still himself long enough to rest? No. Did he act out of peace when he got out? No. Did he take consideration the shepherd's words, like, you know, the scriptures or the advice? Did he take any? No, he didn't do that? Did he move in his own strength and perspective? He did. Did he get directions to avoid the ditch? So what happens when you don't do any of these things previously mentioned? You start back where you were, right where you started again, right? That's what happens as sheep, right? It was funny. Judy was reading the scripture this morning in Isaiah. It says, all you like sheep have gone astray. You see that? That tells us what to do, right? There's no giving thanks. There's no resting. There's no peace. There's no looking at the word. There's no depending on his strength. There's no asking for direction. So with a partner, I want you to share something. But before you share, why do you think I would ask you even to share with someone else? Any idea? I'll tell you why. I know you know. There is power in confession. Now, why is there power in confession? Because, see, the enemy wants you to believe that you're the only one with that same problem that you're thinking about. Because if he can make you believe that, that means everyone else has their life all together except you. Right? But if I confess the lie that I'm believing, what happens? I break the power of that lie because the person next to you say, oh, I've done that. Right? Yeah, it's all done. It's like, okay. So it breaks the power of the lie that he feeds us. So I want you to take a moment and share a time in your life when God has gotten you out of a mess. God has gotten you out of a mess and you hurried off without giving thanks. All right? So take a minute, the person right next to you, and share a story. And like I said, take a minute, not minutes, in sharing that story. Go ahead. All right, let's come back to our places. Now, when you guys shared your story, Did you stop to consider God's advice in that scenario that took place? No? All right. Did you give any thought to what you learned from the experience? Did you share with anyone why you think God pulled you out of that situation? To get your attention, right? But sometimes if you don't even think about that, you might think, I didn't learn anything. So what happens if you don't think about it? You're going to repeat it. Right? So why then do we do exercises like this together in this group? Do you know why? To learn. Mm-hmm. There's also, remember, we're looking at a sheep, right? And the sheep there is not learning anything because he's just repeating it. But there's a scripture that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, right? He said that to the disciples. But if we want that verse to become true in our own lives, we have to practice listening so that he can prove himself to be true. He knows he's true, but we don't know he's true because we don't create space. We don't create an opportunity for that to happen. That's why we do what we do. So when we did the exercise last week, we started with the word thanksgiving. So what does the thanksgiving mean? It means long enough, we wait long enough to address God affectionately. Jesus said, what did he say when he started the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Our Father, right? Our Daddy. How do you all address God affectionately? Any ideas? Dear Lord, okay. Anything else besides dear Lord? What words do you use? Not just adoration. What words do you use?
Papa.
Papa, okay. What do you call him? Abba, right? Anything else? Father God, Holy Spirit, How would you address him in a way that would be showing respect? According to that prayer, it says, holy is your name, or hallowed be your name, right? Right? May your name be honored. May your name endure forever. Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. These are different ways that you show honor, that you show respect to his name. Now, but what's, so those are the things that you have to do. You pause before you jump into prayer. Now, when you jump into prayer, I want to ask you, what's the difference between a voicemail and a phone call? What's the difference between the two? Any idea? No one speaks back on a voicemail, right? It's just one person. You just leave a message, right? So, but what happens when our prayer lives look like we're just leaving God a voicemail rather than a phone call? What happens? Anything? You're not expecting to hear, right? There's nothing. It's one way. Do you learn anything? No, you don't learn anything, right? Wait, because we're so busy talking that we forget that maybe he has something to say. So God speaks in many different ways, and I want to share a short story. I'm going to say it in first person because I'm speaking as if I was this person. The guy says, I was stranded in Chicago. All the planes had been grounded by an eruption of an Icelandic volcano, and I couldn't get home to England. So he's going from Chicago to England, and in between is Iceland, right? And he's grounded in Chicago. Now, if you're from another country, you may not know anybody in the United States, right? There's that possibility. So what would happen, or what would be your first reaction? You're in the airplane, you know you're thousands of miles away from your home and all the flights have been grounded. What is your first response? Be honest. prayer, freak out. You could freak out. Your prayer could be a freak out. Right? What else? Call somebody. Uh-huh. What else? Anything else?
Cry.
How about get angry? Evaluate the situation. Right. Okay. This person, this is what this person did. He said, I asked God how he wanted me to use the interruption. I asked God how he wanted me to use the interruption. Now, would you ever consider asking God that question in the situation? How many of you ever done that? I really haven't. But it's something to take into consideration. Now, this is what he says. Several American friends had already been kind enough to invite me to stay, but as I prayed, I found myself thinking about a particular friend who lived 150 miles west of Madison, Wisconsin. Now, he's in Chicago. So how much further is he? He's a long ways from that friend's house. So, hey, I'm in Chicago, he emailed this friend. And then he says, can I come crash on your couch? That's all the email said. Hey, I'm in Chicago. Can I crash at your house? Now, this part, I really want you to listen to this part. It's going to go real fast. I might have to repeat it. But it's really important that you hear the response of what took place in this situation. Here it goes. I didn't know that Joe, who's the guy he emailed, had just received terrible news, nor that his wife, worried, had asked. Now listen to the question she asks. Who do you wish you had on your couch right now, Joe? Those were her exact words. Who do you wish you had on your couch right now? What do you think Joe said? Listen. Nor did I know the reply that Joe gave his wife. He says, I wish Pete was on my couch. But I know that's crazy because he's in England and he's never been to our home. Okay? So Pete is saying, I'm thinking about Joe, and I'm sending an email that says, hey, I'm in Chicago. Can I come crash on your couch? While Pete is going through his own crisis, all right, Joe is going through his own crisis, and his wife asked him, who do you want on the couch? She could have said any kind of things, but she said, who do you want on your couch? And he says, I wish it was Pete. When I thought of this story, the scripture came to my head. If you, imperfect as you are, know how lovingly take care of your children, give what is best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask Him? God just gave Pete and Joe a how much more moment. How much more? God used Pete and Joe to answer one another's prayer at the same time. How often does that happen? In Malachi 3:16, it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. So the Lord was listening to Pete, and the Lord was listening to Joe, and he answered the prayer. God cares about our conversations, and sometimes He receives them as prayers. Within hours of Joe's throwaway line, I had materialized on his couch. What's encouraging in the story is that Pete was simply asking to show him where to go, and he found himself thinking about a friend. It didn't take hours of praying and listening and waiting on God. You see, we can all listen to God's voice. Right? That's what the whole point of today and last week is about. We can reflect on the word, which is what we did last week. We can listen to wise friends. But in Pete's case, what did he do? He simply asked a question. What would happen if all of us would ask more questions of God? How would he answer those questions? What might happen? Now, repeat this prayer with me. God, I invite you to speak to me today. Help me recognize your voice and follow where you lead me. Amen. That's a quick, simple prayer that you invite God into your circumstances, into your process, and then God answers. Pat, God was dealing with you this morning, wasn't he? So, if we were to do this activation, like I said, you would need a Bible and a piece of paper and a pen, and you're going to do it by yourself. You're not going to get to anybody else. We'll get you a piece of paper and pen if you don't have one. But these are the steps that I went through earlier in the beginning of the message and that are now. First of all, I'm going to pause and thank God affectionately. What can I thank God for? What can I thank him for? First of all, I can thank him because he's with me. He's with me, right? His favor's upon my life. I can thank him because he shows me his love and his favor every single day, right? His mercies are new every morning. And you can ask the Lord one of these three questions. You don't have to ask all of them. Find the one that fits you best. Lord, how do you see or feel about me? Who do you want to be for me today? What do you want to say to me in my current circumstances? So you pick one, and then you're still, and you listen. And as you listen, you begin to write down. Again, God is not going to give you a paragraph right away. It might take these three steps where you write down key words and phrases. Then you take the key words and phrases and put them into sentences. And then you arrange them into a paragraph. Again, this letter that you're writing is to yourself. So take a moment to thank the Lord affectionately and begin to ask the Lord questions.